So smack bang in the middle of the climate wars again. That's where we find ourselves at the 3-week mark of this election campaign. Phil Khoury is in our Parliament House studios. Phil, hello there.
Morning, friend.
So Brian Fisher has modelled a number of scenarios under Labor's 45% emission reduction plan. None of them are cheap, as Angus Taylor was telling us. But Labor says this report is full of flawed assumptions and dodgy numbers. Phil, help us out here. How much caution should be exercised when it comes to projections like this?
Well, lots, Fran, because it's based on a lot of assumptions. Dr. Fisher released some modelling not that long ago which said the cumulative cost to GNP, you know, of the economy over the next 10 years of Labor's policy would be $1.2 trillion at the top end estimate. Now, the government ran around with that number, but he'd actually modelled a policy that hadn't been announced yet. So after Labor announced, you know, the sort of outline of what they were going to do, he had another crack at it, and his top line estimate came down to 542, his bottom line estimate about 276 billion. So it shows you how variable these things are. Now, there's a lot of people out there who are contesting these numbers. I mean, I've had an engineer and economist this morning saying Dr. Fisher's abatement curve, you know, his cost of abatement is 10 times higher than other modellers use. He's saying we'll hit an average under Labor, the average wholesale power cost will be about $130 at the end of the decade. And people are saying, well, how can that happen when, you know, solar power's they're currently buying wind and solar for $50 a megawatt
There's
hour
also
and
very
selling
high
it at 70. So,
also
yeah.
very high estimates of job losses, range from 166,000 to 330,000. Doesn't seem that I can find to take into account of jobs created. And we know that they're being created, you know, enormously quickly in the renewable energy area, especially in Queensland. And Bill Shorten's got a package out today that he says would create jobs in this area.
Yeah, look, the bottom line, Fran, is that, you know, modelling, you know, it's a mug's game getting into modelling because it's always built on assumptions, and even Dr. Fisher sort of accepted that. He had to have a stab in the dark on a few things here because we haven't got all the details of Labor's policy. I think politically, if you stand back, the problem Labor did is they announced a policy and they didn't really anticipate this, and someone was always going to fill in the gaps for them. You know, if they didn't have a number, someone else was going to come up with one. Now, we've had Warwick McKibben, who said, he said the impact of both parties on GDP by 2030 would be about $60 billion, which is sort of nothing at a $2 trillion-plus economy.
Yeah, and the difference between them is not very large either, according to the McKibben model.
No, but even Dr. Fisher today, and he says his cost of GDP under one of the Labor scenarios is $56 billion. That's if you use 50% offsets in international permits. So the point is, you've got Citi modelling came out last week from Citibank, which showed there'd be an immaterial cost to the economy of Labor's policy. So you've got everyone else has got a view except the Labor Party, and I think that's the problem, you know. And the government will run with the one that suits it best, which is the Fisher modelling, and Labor will run with the one that suits its best, which is Citi. I think they should have been a little bit more prudent in anticipating this.
Okay, and Phil, just briefly, the campaign's been hit by a flood of resignations. 9 of them so far of candidates hitting the wall for posting anti-Muslim, homophobic, all sorts of comments. Labor too tainted along the way, but mostly the problems for the Liberal Party, and the Prime Minister has ordered the Liberal Party to improve its vetting. But do you think this is a problem exacerbated by the Liberal Party's flirtation with Clive Palmer? I mean, we've got Bill Shorten now accusing the Liberal Party of being riddled with right-wing extremists.
Well, look, some are saying that, Fran. I mean, certainly in Victoria, the branch has shifted to the right, and they had a couple of candidates down there. They had to punt. I think the social media thing's interesting because in the past you had dirt units from all the parties combing through everyone's records, and you had to go back to old university newspapers and stuff like that. Nowadays, everyone's on Facebook and Twitter, and it would just be a pro forma exercise that every candidate would have their Facebook and Twitter profiles being raked through and Instagram by the other side, looking for stuff they've written. And it, you know, as they say, Fran, once it's online, it's always online. And I think it's just a new thing that we're now experiencing. It's going to be a greater frequency of this.
Yeah, well, you'd think the parties might be scouring it before they they nominate them or select them. Phil, thank you very much.
Good on you, friend.
Phil Khoury is political editor with the Australian Financial Review. You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 7 minutes to 8.